Support for WPR comes from the American Society of Landscape Architects Wisconsin Chapter. Dedicated to reimagining the design of outdoor spaces for the well-being of all. Examples at wiasla.com.
Support for WPR comes from the Madison Museum of Contemporary Art, an independent organization dedicated to creating experiences that educate, reflect, and inspire. More is at mmoca.org.
An estimated 7 million college students have received federally subsidized Stafford loans to help pay for their education. And thanks to a deal struck in 2007, the interest rate on those loans has remained at 3.4% over the last couple of years. But if Congress doesn't act fast, these interest rates could double starting on Monday. Good morning, I'm Cynthia Schuster, filling in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7:07 on Wednesday, June 26th. On this week's Big Question, we ask whether Stafford loans should be allowed to rise from 3.4% to 6.8% in interest. We have two guests to discuss and debate this topic. We invite you to join the conversation as well. Are you burdened by student loan debt? And what should happen to the interest rates on Stafford loans? How should these interest rates be decided? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Let me welcome in our guest this hour. Jay Schalin is the Director of State Policy Analysis at the John W. Pope Center for Higher Education Policy in North Carolina. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Cynthia.
And we have Bruce Spate. He's the Director of the Wisconsin Public Interest Research Group, also known as WISPIRG. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning.
Let's start with you, Jay. You're okay with, to a certain extent, with letting the student loans interest rates double to 6.8%. Could you tell us why?
Sure. To start, I think that I'm not crazy about either, but I prefer the higher rate because I think that this artificially low 3.4%, given blanket to all comers, is sort of doing for the student loan market what some of the policies previously did for the housing market, which is to create a massive bubble that collapsed. So that's the main reason I'm against it.
Okay.
I personally don't like any of the policies that are proposed that much. I would prefer to see loans be given back to the private sector, and the reason for that is that I think we have to start thinking more in terms of getting young people to think about their futures in broader terms than just reflexively going to college, and by having individual assessments of their likelihood to succeed in college and succeed in their career plans after college. We'll get them to think about things a little bit more and maybe consider some alternatives, maybe a lower cost institution or apprenticeship programs, just going straight into work or the military. These are all viable options, and I don't think enough young people are exploring them.
Okay, and before we dig in further into those points, let's ask Bruce. Bruce, why do you think that it's wrong to let the interest rates rise?
Sure. Well, let me first say that, you know, I think that college debt, higher education is really a kind of crushing burden on young people, and increasingly so. As we're seeing the cost of college rise, it is harder and harder for young people to afford going to college, and many are already dissuaded by the high cost. And that's a problem for our economy, for our economic health here in Wisconsin and nationally, because we know that increasingly our workforce is requiring skilled labor and an educated workforce. Right now in Wisconsin, 40% have a college degree. It's estimated by 2020 we'll need 64% of our workforce to have a college degree. So for us, the point here is cost, not interest rates. Let's make sure that we are keeping higher education affordable. And an important way to do that is to make sure that we're not burdening students with excessively costly loans. And I guess I take issue with Jay's point, just that somehow increasing the interest rate is going to force students, or rather that they are somehow now not forced to grapple with the cost. I mean, they already are taking on a lot of debt. Two-thirds of students in Wisconsin have debt, loan debt, and on average, students have debt over $26,000. So I don't think right now students kind of go into this thinking, oh, sure, I'll just get a college degree and maybe if we jack up the interest rates, I'll rethink whether I want to take on that debt. I don't subscribe to that notion. I think they already, I think students are thoughtful about this. And so the point is, let's keep the cost low so that those who are choosing to take that path can do it affordably and not in a way that's going to crush their future, which is kind of the reality we're confronting right now.
Well, and Jay, to what degree do you think that raising the interest rates would cause prospective college students to reconsider whether or not they even go to college or how much they're intending to spend on an education?
Well, interest rates do make a difference. Now, I think according to Bruce's numbers, I think the $26,000 would go up to $30,000. That alone is not going to make a difference either in their lives or their assessments. It might make the difference for a few. I mean, people do make many decisions based on interest rates. I'm more concerned about having an individual assessment done by the lender, because in many cases, taking a loan at all might be a bad decision. I'm not too sure whether all that many students really put that much thought into it. I've gotten a lot of feedback otherwise that they see the money, they take it, and it's sometimes not even used for education purposes, but for living costs.
Well, and Bruce, I'm wondering, is the 3.4% interest rate okay with you, or do you think it should be lower even?
Well, certainly, you know, we would like to see college be as affordable as possible for those who, you know, are wanting to pursue, you know, again, getting a college degree. And you know, again, given the broader context that we know we, you know, increasingly need an educated workforce and there's value for our economy, you know, here in Wisconsin and having an educated workforce. And we want to enable those who, you know, want to get into, you know, a college or university to be able to affordably do it. We think that, we're working to keep the cost as low as possible, but, you know, we think it's reasonable at this point to keep the interest rate at 3.4%. And, you know, I think our concern is just, from what I understand in what Jay's proposing, you know, for interest rates to suddenly spike, I think, you know, that's a real concern. And if we're going to kind of take these programs out of the federal government and just put them, you know, completely onto the free market, there's a risk that the interest rates would go up to 8, 9, 10%, even higher. And that's an increasing burden on students. And the long-term consequences are great. I mean, this affects, well one point is that student loan debt just last year surpassed credit card debt. In America, I think that's a big concern. And so we're talking about, you know, the future of young people too, not only their ability to get a degree, but their ability to get a car loan in the future or a house loan in the future. I mean, this is going to have long-term consequences and the debt burden on students is only increasing. So that's a problem for our economy and that's money. You know, Jay was just saying, you know, maybe it's $30,000 rather than $26,000. Well, that's $4,000 that could be spent in our economy rather than paying off loan debt. I think that's a real concern, and I'd rather see, you know, our graduates investing in our economy than just paying off loan debt.
That is Bruce Spade. He's the director of the Wisconsin Public Interest Research Group, also known as WISPIRG. And our other guest is Jay Schallen, the director of state policy analysis at the John W. Pope Center for Higher Education Policy in North Carolina. We're debating the big question this week. Should the interest rates on Stafford student loans be allowed to double to 6.8% next week? Should they remain at 3.4%? Is there another option that you think might be best? You can let us know at 1-800- 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@WPR.org or find us on Facebook at The Joy Cardine Show. I'm Cynthia Schuster filling in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In our weather forecast for today, cloudy and muggy with more rain passing through. We have some flood warnings in portions of the state and highs mainly in the lower 80s today. It'll be cooler near the Great Lakes. Partly cloudy tonight with patchy fog and a chance of rain, lows in the 50s and 60s. I'm Cynthia Schuster filling in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We hope you'll be with us tomorrow at this time. The Supreme Court is expected to hand down its rulings on the Defense of Marriage Act today. And as long as that happens, we'll be discussing it tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Right now, we're debating the big question. We're asking, should the federally subsidized student loans, known as Stafford loans, be allowed to rise from 3.4% to 6.8%? That means doubling the rate of student loans effective July 1st. You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Then I see that our phone lines are full, so why don't you try emailing us at talk@WPR.org. Our guests are Jay Schallen. He's the Director of State Policy Analysis at the John W. Pope Center for Higher Education Policy in North Carolina. And Bruce Spate is Director of Wisconsin Public Interest Research Group, also known as WISPRG. Jay, earlier you had likened this situation with student loan interest rate to the housing bubble, and that this could also be a bubble that collapses. Could you expand on that point?
Well, I'll start with Bruce's assertion that there's this tremendous demand for more college graduates. The truth is something a little different here. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the 10 largest growing jobs predicted by 2020, only one of them requires a four-year degree, which is a biomedical engineer. The rest can either be some sort of technical training or on-the-job training. So the job market is very, very tough for college graduates. Apparently, according to the Federal Reserve, only 62% of all college graduates are working in jobs that require a college degree. And I forget what the exact number is for working in their majors, but only about a quarter of people are working in their majors. So, and 50%, I think for, it's over 50% of recent grads are not working in their college degree, are working in jobs that require a college degree. So there's some very big problems about why do we need to push everybody into an academic degree? There are some jobs out there that require more like a one-year training program that would be better for a lot of people. There's no reason why we should just keep pushing people into four-year programs, academic programs, and have them take loans and discover 2 years into it that they don't like college any more than they liked high school. So all of a sudden, at some point, people are going to start realizing, why am I going into debt for something that isn't going to pay off? And at that point, we're going to see a pulling back. There's also a lot of alternatives out there with various types of online and different types of programs that are emerging that can be done at much lower cost.
Okay, and let's get Bruce's response to that. What about the skilled labor gap that we're hearing about?
Right. Well, first of all, I would say, you know, the point here isn't to push everyone into getting a college degree, but rather to make a college degree accessible for those who want it. And regarding Jay's point about his figures, I seem to recall in his own column him pointing out that, you know, one third of the jobs don't require an advance or a degree. However, that means that two thirds do. And that is consistent with the figures I've looked at too, that by 2020, 64% of the jobs in Wisconsin will require a certificate or degree. And right now, again, as I noted before, 40% of the current population has one. So I guess a few reactions then. You know, one, we do need an educated workforce. That'll be important for the future, and there is a gap, and so we want to make sure that that we are making college accessible to address that skills gap in the workforce. But then the other point, just getting at accessibility, would be that we know that a college degree, in fact, there has been, you know, extensive research looking at the benefits of a college degree for the economic kind of health of individuals. We know that when people get a college degree, their income is likely to be higher. And so it really has been proven to be a ticket to success. So the point here is that, you know, those who want that ticket to success can access it and can do it in an affordable way. That's our point. And so, you know, it isn't to, we recognize that this might not be for everyone, but for those that do want it, and especially for those who don't have the means right now. I mean, we're talking about, you know, Stafford loans, which, you know, 2/3 of the subsidized Stafford loans that are given out are to, you know, families with incomes of less than $50,000. So, I mean, you know, these are people that, you know, this is an opportunity for them to get that ticket to success and to contribute to our economy and to address the skills gap. So, you know, to me, this is just a win all the way around. And, you know, it's not about making sure everyone gets a degree. We recognize that some won't pursue it and it might not be right for some, but we do have a skills gap. And we do want to make sure that higher education is accessible to those who want to pursue it.
What about Jay's point, though, that, you know, only, a relative minority of people will actually get a job that they studied for in the same field of study that they had pursued in college? Given that statistic, then why is college still necessary? Can't they still get these same jobs without taking the same education course?
Well, I think that misses the point to some extent in that, you know, again, we know that a number of these, well, first of all, there's value in education. We know that having a more educated workforce, there will be benefits for our economy. And you know, just because you haven't necessarily gotten a degree in what you end up in the field you end up working in doesn't mean that there isn't still value. And especially when you look at, you know, at the point I was making before that, you know, really this is a ticket to success. Those who have, you know, degrees are more likely to have higher incomes and to contribute to our economy more. You know, the point is let's make sure that we do have a workforce with the skills that we need. And yeah, I understand that sometimes you might pursue a college degree and then, you know, need to acquire other skills for the job you're taking. But, you know, again, we see an overall benefit to educating, to education and to having an educated workforce. And the fact that, you know, some people are going to pursue a degree that doesn't become their career isn't a reason to kind of pull back and make college less affordable. You know, quite to the contrary, there are benefits to education. It's important for our economy. It's important to address the skills gap. So let's make sure it's affordable for those who want it.
Mm-hmm. Jay, you had mentioned in an opinion column that, or actually you mentioned it earlier on the show too, so I guess I don't need to back reference it terribly long. But you said that we should let private lenders lend according to a student's likelihood to pay, get government out of the picture. What are the qualifications you'd look at when deciding what who to lend to?
Okay, well, the first thing is, like anything, you're looking for the likelihood that they are going to pay back the loan. And in this case, it would be they are likely to do well in a college with that's right for them. And, or, you know, you don't want the weak student going to Harvard because their chances of success are much worse, but if they went to another school, they might predict for success. So that's really what we're talking about here is this person likely to benefit from a college education financially enough to pay back that loan? And that is the basic of everything. Now, just because somebody gets turned down initially doesn't mean that they can't go to the community college for a year and, you know, prove themselves. Then they can go back and get the low rate, because a lot of it, you know, you want to encourage that sort of thing. So that would be the essence of it, is pretty much.
Well, I don't mean to sound glib, and with all due respect to our friend Garrison Keillor, what would that mean for English majors under your system?
That would mean English majors, an English major who predicted that they had a very good chance of graduating would probably get a fairly good loan. The economy does absorb English majors. However, it would also possibly caution some English majors. An English major is not something you want to go into extensive debt for, because paying it back might be rough. You're probably not going to get the good job offer. So, yes, there is a signal there, and it's a valuable signal, and I'm sure there are a lot of English majors who wish they had considered their choice of majors and now are sitting with $30,000, $40,000 worth of debt.
And, Bruce, we only have about a minute before news. What's your response?
Well, in the spirit of full disclosure, I'm an English major. but, you know, just to take my own situation, I mean, you know, you might argue that there are other degrees that would be, you know, more valuable for my career and, you know, in doing kind of political organizing and advocacy work. But yeah, there were a lot of skills that I got as an English major, you know, writing skills, and among many others, that certainly have been really helpful. So, you know, again, I think that we, you know, this idea that, you know, we should only be investing in majors that, you know, somehow have that we can measure the value of economically, it just kind of misses the larger point on education, which is that, you know, we all benefit from having a more educated society and a more educated workforce. And, yeah, you know, so I think we can't dismiss that. And, you know, this notion that we just have to only invest in those that we can, you know, pinpoint are going to actually, you know, somehow make money back because of this specific major is missing a lot of value that, you know, even a liberal arts education provides to our economy and to our society. So let's not dismiss that. And again, let's make college affordable and accessible, not, you know, something that just because you're of low income or you don't have the means can't get that ticket.
Mm-hmm. That's Bruce Spaight. He's director of the Wisconsin Public Interest Research Group, also known as WISPRG. Our other guest is Jay Schallen, the director of state policy analysis at the John Pope Center for Higher Education Policy in North Carolina. They are our guests on The Big Question this hour, debating whether or not student interest loan rates, the Stafford loans, should be allowed to double their interest rates from 3.4% to 6.8% effective next week. You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. We'll be back after this check of the news right here on Wisconsin Public Radio. On this week's Big Question, we ask, should the federally subsidized student loans, known as Stafford loans, be allowed to rise from 3.4% to 6.8%? That means doubling the rate of student loan interest effective next Monday, July 1st. That's what could happen if Congress doesn't act fast to keep those interest rates down. We have two guests today to join us this hour. It's Jay Schallen. He's director of state policy analysis at the John W. Pope Center for Higher Education Policy in North Carolina. And Bruce Spaight. He's the director of the Wisconsin Public Interest Research Group, also known as WISPRG. We also want to know what you think. You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or leave us a comment on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Bruce and Jay, I also wanted to get in a caller this half hour, so let's talk to Amy in Shattuck. Hi, Amy.
Hello. Thanks so much for taking my call. I am suffering, as I know many other college and university professionals are, from inability to repay loans we took as students. Quite frankly, I'm not sure if the difference in... Hello?
We're here.
Did you hear me so far?
Yep, we did.
Okay, great, thanks. Quite frankly, I'm not sure what the differences in interest rate, if as a college student I would have had the judgment to really distinguish between the two. I'm just not sure that students that age have that ability. But my question for the callers is, I am currently enrolled in something called a public service loan forgiveness program to repay my debt. It's an income-based program, and it's geared towards university and college teachers, but it is not as substantial a forgiveness as those which are teaching in K through 12 can get. And I don't know why there's this discrepancy between K through 12 and college versus university teachers, if teaching is in fact a public service at all these levels. Do either of your callers have an opinion on where I can get more information or how I can promote the development of a better program for university college teachers for loan forgiveness?
I'll look at you, Bruce. Do you have any answers?
Well, you know, my advice would be, you know, contact your member of Congress and, you know, share your concerns. I mean, you know, a lot of these programs are, you know, decisions that, you know, are in the hands of Congress. So I don't know in terms of, you know, a specific, you know, way to restructure the programs or, you know, policy ideas. You know, we'd be happy to engage in a conversation about that. But, you know, I think that's the best route is to go to Congress and, you know, urge them to rethink how they do these programs. You know, but I do think it also your point before about, you know, students, you know, would a 6.8% interest rate dissuade you that a 3.4% interest rate wouldn't? Yeah, I think that's right on that, you know, students, what they know is that they are taking on debt, and that is a real thing. And they know there's a consequence to that. I think often, yeah, in fact, you know, the average person, it's hard to, you couldn't calculate in your head what the difference is. What I can tell you is that the difference per year, per student, if we let this interest rate go up, would be $915 per year. That adds up over time. And again, that's money that they could otherwise be spending and aiding our economy rather than paying off loan debt. So it is real money. And it does affect affordability and accessibility, but yeah, I think it's the larger issue is just students are confronted with the reality of debt, and you know, would the percentage dissuade or not, and achieve the goals that Jay's talking about? I'm not convinced of that. I think the point is, let's keep the cost down so students who want to pursue that degree can do it and succeed.
Jay Shallen, what about you?
Okay, well, let me take. There was two different points there. One is the idea of dissuading, and the caller says she didn't even consider, and that's what I want to affect. This is the problem, that young people are not considering the effects of an interest rate. They're just reflexively grabbing, and that's why I would like to see a more individualized approach in which a loan officer would be explaining to them what the differences are and so on and so forth. So that's, I definitely, when I take a loan, I consider, and I think most people should, and I think that's an awareness that a lot of young people lack. And so it's good to kind of emphasize that. And as far as, I can't imagine any reason why, college professors would be singled out for any sort of loan forgiveness. There is absolutely no shortage of college professors. I don't see where their so-called public service is any more important to the country than some engineer who has developed a product and has built up a company where they provide a lot of jobs. So I question the whole idea of loan forgiveness for college professors.
Okay, let's go next to JJ in Madison. Hi, JJ.
Good morning to you and your guests. One thing I do agree is that students should be given a little more awareness, counseling, I guess. But my larger point, which goes beyond a moot point with one of your guests about predicting or thinking about if the degree is going to be worth taking loans, is the fact that we have to put aside the could have, would have, should have, and face the fact that people who own student loans as of this day are faced with sometimes a loan that just goes up if it's graduated or if it's income-based. And people who have already had loans for a while, case in point, myself, I've had one for the past 12 years, paying religiously. And at one point, the loan got passed along a private company. And my interest rate went from 6.25 to 8.5. And that alone cost, I mean, it was just not, never mind an increase in payment. It was just pretty much an insult, a slap in the face. And by now, I'm not only faced with a mortgage for a home with utilities and whatnot, but I'm faced with pretty much two-thirds of a mortgage of a student loan. Mm-hmm. That's the point. We have to consider what effect that this increasing interest rate is going to have on people who have loans as of today. Not that could have, would have, should have of X or Y degree. I guess that's my point.
Okay,
you know, everything is getting lost. Thank you.
Thanks, JJ. So JJ brings up an interesting point. He says he's been paying off his student loans now for 12 years. And will continue to do so for a while, it sounds like. And student loan debt is also unshakable, even in bankruptcy. So do you, I guess we'll start with Jay, do you have an opinion on whether or not that's the bigger problem than the interest rates themselves?
Well, it's not a bigger problem, but I do agree that loans, student loans, should be dischargeable through bankruptcy. And the reason for that is it makes the lender think twice. Is this person likely to pay me back, or are they likely to, I believe that caller was JJ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a better case scenario than a lot of people who have taken out loans and have not gotten good jobs where they can continue to repay, and they just sit there with bad credit, they're really behind the eight ball. So, yes, I do believe that there should be some ability to discharge the loans.
Bruce?
Yeah, well, I agree with JJ and Jay that there needs to be transparency about these loans, and we need to be giving students, I think anyone, when they receive a loan, they should be given full disclosure about the consequences of that. In fact, that, you know, getting back to the kind of mortgage crisis, we know one of the problems, or as, you know, Senator Warren, not at the time a senator, but when she was advocating for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, made the point that, you know, we often are kind of protecting consumers from dangerous products like ovens, but not from, you know, dangerous home mortgages that, you know, are presented as a good deal, and then, you know, consumers later find out that it, you know, it's gonna blow up financially on them. And so, you know, we think it's very important that we are providing information to consumers, in this case students, about what the long-term consequences of that loan are. And so I wasn't in any way trying to suggest that, you know, students aren't informed enough to distinguish between a 3.4 and a 6.8% interest rate. But my point is just that, you know, 3.4% is no small potatoes. There is a cost there. And I do think they're aware of that. But yeah, I generally agree with the point that we do need transparency, and students, and I think we could do a better job of presenting that information. But I do think right now there is an awareness that, I mean, students are again increasingly getting kind of priced out of getting an education, and you know, student loan debt is getting worse and worse, and there's an awareness of that. And so, you know, this is a real problem that people feel, which is again where we're saying it is about cost. It is a burden, and it has a long-term consequence on our economy. And so let's address that cost as the problem. And one last point, getting to Jay's idea that, you know, kind of this could lead to another housing bubble. I'm actually concerned that, you know, if we put this out on the free market, we risk, you know, hopefully we have some protections in place with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. This wouldn't happen, but I think we actually, that increases the risk that, there would be some sort of bubble with these loans, in that, you know, this is something that, you know, I think Wall Street would salivate over, and, you know, the ability to, you know, kind of administer more of these programs. And we know when banks were more engaged, and even the federal Stafford Loan Program, just a few years ago, there was a reform enacted in 2009 that took out banks as the middleman. There were additional costs on students then. So we've actually saved students money by getting banks out of this program. And so, yeah, I just don't necessarily see the benefit. This is a good program. It makes college more accessible for students, and let's keep the costs low and the interest rates low.
A couple of people...
Can I get in there real quick?
Sure.
One of the reasons why costs are being driven up is by the availability of federal money. If I have $100 to spend on education, a university will charge me $100. If the federal government gives me another $100 to spend, now I have $200, and the universities will raise their rates to get that money. So a lot of the cost spiral that we've seen going up is due to all this subsidy, to all these subsidies. That's it.
Okay, thanks. Our guests are Bruce Spaeth and Jay Schallen. I wanted to move on to our closing arguments here because we do have to get to the sound off segment. We'll start with you, Bruce. Why should we make sure that the student loan rates don't go up on Monday?
For college affordability, I feel like I'm repeating myself a lot. This is about keeping costs low for students. We know we need more our workforce to be more educated. We need college to be more accessible and affordable. The costs are increasing. More and more students are getting priced out. And maybe one last point I would make that is new. I mentioned Senator Warren a little while ago. One proposal that maybe many folks have heard about is her proposal to have the student loan debt be the same, or rather the interest rate on student loans be the same as the federal loans to banks, which is 0.75%. And we think that's a really good education campaign just because it appropriately calls into question our priorities as a nation. Should we be investing in our students to help them get their education at the same level we're investing in banks? I think it's an interesting point, right? Another point would be that the proposal to keep the interest rate at 3.4% would be paid for by closing tax loopholes. So, you know, right now we have tax loopholes that many corporations and wealthy individuals are able to exploit, but we are reluctant to actually keep interest rate lows so we can have an educated workforce and make college more accessible. So, I think this debate is good. It's forcing us to grapple with what our priorities are. But at the end of the day, this is about keeping college affordable and accessible to students. And Congress should act and keep the Stafford loans interest rate at 3.4%.
And Jay Schallen, what do you have to say?
Well, I think that the whole thing, it's not all about making college more affordable. It's about let's have some sort of discussion on how should young people consider their futures. I think that's a much bigger question because the other assumes that college is part of the picture. There's many things that young people can consider other than college. There are many different paths to college. There's no reason why somebody has to take some expensive program where they live at the college. They can live at home, and they can find different ways to do things. And I think that there's no reason why we should constantly pump money into our higher education system when there's no great need for this. We can find better ways.
All right. Thank you so much, Jay, for joining us today.
All right. Thank you.
And thank you, Bruce.
Sure. Thank you.
Jay Schallen is the Director of State Policy Analysis at the John W. Pope Center for Higher Education Policy in North Carolina. Bruce Spaeth is the Director of the Wisconsin Public Interest Research Group, also known as WISPRG. They joined us today for the big question, debating whether or not the student Stafford interest loan rates should rise up to 6.8% effective Monday, which could happen if Congress doesn't act to keep them at 3.4%. this week. What do you think? We are going to start our sound off segment after the break at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. We'll give you 30 seconds to sound off on this big question right here on the Ideas Network. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine on Wisconsin Public Radio. In our weather forecast for today, cloudy and muggy with more rain passing through our state. The highs today will be mainly in the lower 80s and cooler near the Great Lakes. Partly cloudy tonight with patchy fog and a chance of rain, lows in the 50s and 60s. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay with us after 8 o'clock as we explore the lives of the Astronaut Wives Club. While their husbands were exploring the final frontier, a small group of women banded together to support each other through times of trial and triumph. We'll talk with the author of a new book that puts these women in the spotlight, and we'll also talk with a widow of one of the astronauts, C.C. Williams. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, we are about to start the sound-off segment for the big question. The big question this week, should the federally subsidized student Stafford loan interest rates be allowed to rise from 3.4% to 6.8%? You can give us a call when the line opens up at 1-800-642-1234. And you can also vote in our online poll at WPR.org/joy. We're going to go first to Matt in Green Bay. Hi, Matt.
Hi there. Yeah, I think we should increase it to 15 or 20% and turn this into a profit center for some bank that's already been ripping the system off for years and is tired now or upset because they've been pulled out of the middle of the equation and they aren't making millions off of the loan administration partner program. Having said that, there are over 100,000 people a month coming into the United States from overseas receiving work visas to take jobs that Americans will take at half the pay.
Okay, Matt, that's your 30 seconds. Thanks for your call. Jack in Buffalo Grove, Illinois. Hi, Jack.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I think that one of the discussions that you didn't have was the option of trade schools. I'm working in an industry where we cannot find enough qualified people with the right technical skills.
Okay.
And college shouldn't be the only option of doing that. We should end up like Germany or the European Union. They get their young people into different technical trades.
Thanks, Jack. That's an interesting point. We'll go next to Madison. Veronica is on the line. Hi, Veronica.
Hi. I actually went to a technical school or trade school as an older adult. I would not have been able to afford to do that without student loans. I graduated right when the bubble burst, so I couldn't find a job for about a year, but now I am working in my trade field, making a fairly decent wage and paying back those student loans, and I could not afford that increase in interest. If there is that kind of increase, there's a good chance that something else is going to have to give, such as the mortgage.
Okay, Veronica, thanks for your call. We've been debating the big question this hour and asking, should the federally subsidized student loans, known as Stafford loans, be allowed to raise their interest rates at 3.4%? They're at 3.4% right now, and they're going to double to 6.8% if Congress doesn't act by July 1st. This is our sound-off segment for the last few minutes. You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can also vote in our online poll at WPR.org/joy. Jerry in Glendale, you're next. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. I'm against raising the interest rates. I believe that keeping the interest rates low is a very significant investment in the future education and workforce in this country. I also find Mr. Shalen's comments about universities being predators on available federal money to be completely and utterly bogus. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. Heidi and Burton, you're next.
Yes, I'm calling. I'm definitely against raising the interest rates. If anything, they should be lowered. Every child needs to get a college education. My husband, who has been out of work, who has 35 years of experience in the industry, cannot get a job because he doesn't have that college education. And without that, nobody wants to hire you anymore unless you want a minimum wage job, and you can't support a family on minimum wage.
Okay, thanks, Heidi. Joyce in Wanawak, is that right?
Yes.
Hi, Joyce. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, and I want to say I'm against raising the rates, whether it's good or bad for the economy. I'm not an economist, but I've got six children. Four of them are either through or in college. Five of them are. One's
okay.
Still in high school. They are paying those loans back. One is a teacher. It's really difficult with the new, even being in 7 years, you're still considered pretty new. The fact that young people, I heard young people aren't looking at what the outcome of their debts are. Mine are. Mine do. They look very seriously at it. And, yes, four out of these five have gone ahead with it, and they are They do.
Okay.
They consider it greatly. I think there's good counseling going on through the colleges around here, too.
Thanks, Joyce. That wraps up our big question segment and our sound-off segment. Our online poll, the results say that, yes, 4% say we should allow the student interest rates to rise up to 6.8%. 94% say that they should not, and 2% aren't sure. Thanks to all who participated this hour in our big question. I'm Cynthia Schuster, filling in for Joy Cardine. Stay tuned after 8 o'clock. We'll talk about the Astronauts Wives Club coming up. I also want to thank Bill Martins for producing this hour, Justin Williams for on-air production, and Christy Taylor for on-air direction. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.